I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Buccaneers, Eagles at the half, 21-7. The Buccaneers handling the Eagles so far. So we'll keep you apprised on that one. We'll see how this thing goes. Love a Thursday night football game. Love even more that we're approaching the Utah Jazz regular season, the preseason now in the books. Nice little performance last night, getting the W over the reigning world champions. Yeah, it's the preseason, but those starters had a nice first half. Ben Anderson from KSLSports.com joins us right now. He breaks down the Jazz all you can handle, bro, on KSLSports.com. So if you want to get the insight, you get it right there. Ben, how would you rate the Jazz preseason?
Yeah, I thought it was good. I thought they got better, and I think that's probably something you're looking for. You want to see a team that, you know, have some new pieces that have to get worked into the rotation, and they're going to have to figure out some chemistry with each other. And I thought by the last game, they were playing their best of the preseason so far. So there's still room to grow, certainly, but that's a good sign.
So of all the new pieces that the Jazz have acquired via either the draft or free agency or whatever, Who has been most impressive to you? Who do you think is going to have the biggest impact for this team?
Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see what Rudy Gay does when he actually gets back on the floor, as he had surgery on that heel to remove bone spurs, and we just haven't seen him yet, because he's probably going to get the most minutes of all these guys when he's back and ready to go. But certainly in the preseason, it was the rookie Jared Butler who, you know, I loved coming out of the draft, and he played even beyond, I think, most Jazz fans' wildest expectations in the preseason. He led him not just in scoring over the three of the four games that he played, averaging 18 points per game. He actually led him in assists, too, and that's really surprising. A lot of times rookies just don't know, you know, how the system works, how to find guys. They're just looking to score because that was the thing they did best in college. He just really was absolutely terrific, both as a playmaker and as a scorer.
What's different then about this team in terms of, like, that next step? And everybody's wondering. I think people look and they've seen that Rudy – has kind of started things off. I mean, whether it be how he did in the Olympics or in the preseason, even when he comes in the game. I know we had a lot of fun last night watching him step back, hit a 17-footer. I know his team had big smiles on their faces. But, I mean, it just seems like this guy came in different this year.
Yeah, he came in. I think getting a couple of days rest during the preseason has been good. And maybe that's something that Quinn Snyder recognized, that, hey, if you can give Gobert a few nights off every once in a while and kind of let him get refreshed, let him have fresh legs, you're going to get a player who's just, you know, kind of operating at a different level. And maybe that's something you look to do throughout the season. So by the time the postseason comes, you know, he is a little bit fresher than he has been in years past, especially because he did play in the Olympics with the French national team and played the max number of games by making it to the gold medal game. So maybe that's one of the things you start looking for. But yeah, he's looked absolutely terrific. Certainly game three was his best game. That was Monday night against the Dallas Mavericks when he had 19 points and 19 rebounds in a little over 20 minutes. He just changes the game. And if you can get him fully healthy and on the floor as much as possible while still keeping him well-rested, I think he could be, you know, a player who still has more to his game that we haven't seen yet.
So the Jazz beat the Bucks, who are world champions, and does the preseason mean anything? I mean, what is the value of the preseason, I guess?
I think this was probably a good test for them. I mean, certainly doesn't do anything to carry over into the regular season, but I think it was probably a sign that they're pretty ready to go from a chemistry and you know, just kind of understanding what their goals are from that perspective. you know, the Bucks played their starters other than the fourth quarter. They played them through the first three quarters. They even played them in the second half to start the second half, and the Jazz didn't run any of their starters out. And the Jazz were up 63-61 at the break. And then after three quarters, they still had a two-point lead, even though they had their second unit going against the Bucks starters. So I thought that was probably a pretty good sign, too, for guys like Hassan Whiteside and Jared Butler, who I mentioned, Jordan Clarkson. These guys who aren't going to get the most minutes on the roster, but certainly want to get out there and show that they can still play and contribute. So I think seeing them play well against a team that really does look like they're operating at a championship level when they're on the floor in the Bucks, with the chemistry they have, with the confidence they have, the way they seem to know one another, I think that was a really good sign for the Jazz, especially at home.
Ben, one of the things that we talked about a little bit last hour was how much Ryan Smith and Dwayne Wade have been present at the Silicon Slopes in the last couple of days, breaking down some of the tech conference side of things. And I think it's been amazing. Obviously, watching Tim Cook sandwiched between those guys during the preseason game last night was pretty funny too, because I think that these guys really they make pitches to guys all day about the importance of the economy here, all these things. But you did a write up today about. And you've been doing this kind of countdown to the season, and number six was Dwayne Wade. What has he meant to the team so far, to the franchise so far, as kind of a right hand man to Ryan Smith, it seems like? And what will it be long term? What will the effect be long term for the Jazz, you think, having Dwayne Wade as part of that franchise?
You know, I kind of assumed when Dwayne Wade bought in, I thought he'd be, you remember Justin Timberlake owned a little bit of the Memphis Grizzlies, and he would like show up occasionally, right, but he wasn't active at all. And
he was more Drake than he was an owner. That's what it felt like.
100%. And it was a guy who was like, okay, I get it. It's kind of fun that he belongs. It doesn't make sense, even though I know Justin Timberlake's from Memphis. I didn't understand what this connection was going to be from Dwayne Wade, other than maybe, hey, this is the cheapest, you know, percentage of the NBA that was for sale that I could buy with the team. And this is something I just want to have before I look for my next big thing. And it just, that's not been the case at all. He's so bought in on the Jazz. He's so enthusiastic about what the team is doing, you know, the branding, who Donovan Mitchell is, the ability for the team to have success. And then he just seems to really like Ryan Smith. So, you know, that's why he bought in, calls him a mentor, he calls him a friend. I think certainly believing in what he does and his picture for the Jazz and his picture for Utah, speaking of Ryan Smith, has helped Dwayne Wade feel confident that, hey, he can come in and say, I think this is a place we can bring, you know, different business in. This is a place where his family can be successful. This is a place where he thinks others of his friends can come in and have an opportunity to grow. So I've been stunned by how active and how enthusiastic he is about being a member of the Jazz organization and an owner of the Jazz organization. And I think it's just going to keep growing. I think he brings a different level of attention and kind of a different level of maybe acceptance or kind of a championship acumen that the team doesn't really have, unless you were to go out and get a guy who's been on, you know, four or five championship teams that's actually on the court. And at this point in their career, anyone you get like that is just going to be, you know, kind of late and kind of washed in their career and just like a figure, but not really a huge representation of the team. Dwayne Wade is an owner, I think, and still kind of a young owner as far as his post NBA career, can be kind of a better figurehead and somebody who can represent the Jazz on a, you know, not just national scale, but international scale because of his fame and because of his past success. People just think Dwayne Wade's cool because he's been around the NBA for so long, and it's hard to argue.
Yeah, so I hear all of this. I think it's great. I'm a huge proponent. I'm excited that he's here. But does that kind of thing bring championships?
Scott's like, I want a championship.
Like, can he, you know, can he really bring players here? And the right players that could really, you know, because as he gets older, maybe he becomes less relevant to younger players or whatever. But can he bring those players that can bring a championship?
Yeah, I think the one question there is that, you know, what impact is he going to have on free agency? And the Jazz just haven't had huge money yet since Dwayne Wade's been around. You know, he's only been there for 6 months. As far as what he's going to bring to the team and what he can go out and pitch, he did help with Hassan Whiteside. You know, those two knew each other from Miami. But Hassan's been so far in the season. I don't know if he's a difference maker, but I do think that's going to be the big question that's next for Dwayne Wade.
If you haven't been catching up on the countdown for the Jazz season, go back and do it. You can click back on some of those older stories, too, on the countdown to this year. Ben Anderson, KSLSports.com. We're really looking forward to this year, and we're looking forward to talking to you more here, Ben. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, guys.
All right, let's take the break. Hey, when we come back, I'll talk a little bit about this Raiders deal. There was a conversation that Mike Mayock, the GM of the Raiders, had with the press this week that I want to have Scott's opinion on. You'll be able to hear that next. Stay right here with us on KSL's Unrivaled.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.